Today's show is brought to you by LMH Strategies, Inc., a leadership, management, and human systems consulting company.
If you've prepared like you should have in the offseason, you should go into the preseason with a lot of confidence and just be really confident in your ability to perform. It can't be a situation where, you know, what if situation? What if I would have done this in the offseason? You don't want to have those type of questions. You want to walk in feeling confident that you've done everything you can do to be the best athlete you are.
Welcome to Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete, hosted by Glenn Hames, where we share tips and strategies that help amateur athletes, coaches, and teams achieve their on and off the field athletic goals. Our show discusses topics important to the elite amateur athlete. Whether you play football, basketball, soccer, or any other active sport, either on the field or court, our experienced industry experts, coaches, and former professional athletes will provide firsthand insight on topics that will give athletes who desire to play sports at the highest level an edge over their competition and undoubtedly will help turn their athletic goals into a reality. When there's a new season, there are new goals. What's your field goals? In today's world of year-round sports, it is rare that we see athletes coming in with a true off-season. I mean, think about it. Soccer goes from a fall season to winter sessions to a spring season to summer showcases. Baseball and softball go from the spring season to summer ball to fall ball and then preparing for the spring again. Basketball typically goes from the fall season through the winter season and wraps up in the spring season and then the summer league start. And football, well, football these days is practically year-round with minimal breaks in the spring and summer, but I think you get the idea. Now, with the sports season growing longer and the competition growing stronger, it is of the utmost importance to maintain strength and mobility gains developed over the off-season through the entire season. With proper training habits, it is possible to be at your best when the games matter most. Now, the key here is to maintain obligations to the sport you train for with minimal losses in performance capabilities. Now, you can argue that off-season training is the most important phase of any sport-specific conditioning plan because not only will it help athletes to recover physically and psychologically, the off-season can also be used to address some of the physical imbalances that are typically inherent with playing competitive sports. Now, the off-season allows time to dedicate resources to learning to move properly, build muscle, and work on mobility and power training. This is the groundwork for improving performance and excelling at a sport once competition season returns. All of this will help you to become a better overall athlete. Now, let me just keep it real for a moment. During the season, anyone can have a good game, a good week, or even a good season. But to have success over and over requires consistent effort over and over. Because let's face it, success for a year or two, it's just called being hot. And that only lasts for a moment. But excellence is performing at a high level over and over again. Every single day is an opportunity to improve. So what this means is when there is a recovery or no game day, use it wisely. And during the pre, post, and off season, double down on quality sleep and work on mobility drills that will prepare your body for more training. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but it now becomes a habit. Now, the reason it is important to look at training as a greater commitment is because as we develop from competitive high school sports to collegiate and/or professional sports, our needs change. Training evolves over time, so staying consistent throughout the year and building up during the offseason, preseason, and postseason will unlock your potential to reach your goals. The key is to stay ruthlessly consistent and focused on what is important. Now, all in all, off-season, preseason, and postseason training is important regardless of the sport because it is a time to rest, develop, improve, and focus on skills that directly and indirectly affect competitive performance. So lucky for you, my next guest knows all about off, pre, and postseason training. He's been involved with football as a quarterback for over 25 years and was trained by some of the best athletic trainers and coaches in the business. He was a three-year starter at Catawba College, finishing his collegiate career ranked number 2 on their all-time passing list, compiling 213 passing yards per game and finishing his career with 7,874 yards. He also threw for 62 touchdowns and a 55.3% completion percentage. Now, following his collegiate career, he was fortunate enough to be a backup to Joe Flacco with the Baltimore Ravens, and later in his career, signing professional contracts in the CFL with the Montreal Alouettes and in the AFL too with the Mahoning Valley Thunder. Playing quarterback was his passion, but now training the next generation of elite athletes has become his obsession. Joining me on the field to discuss off-season, preseason, and postseason training habits for elite athletes, Brad Roach, coming up next on Field Goals for the Focused Driven Athlete. Welcome back to Field Goals for the Focused Driven Athlete. We got another good one joining the field with us today. Actually, we got the other half of the Port City Dynamic Duel, and I'll explain that in a bit. But for now, let's welcome to the show my brother from another mother, Brad Roach. Welcome to the field.
What's up, my boy, Glenn? Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, man, it's going great. Good to see you again.
I appreciate you guys bringing me on to the Field Goals. It's a good thing you're doing, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. And Brad, when you and I met a couple of years ago, and actually I was following your videos about 3 or 4 years ago, you were another one that I saw along with Coach T. I was like, man, I got to get this guy on the podcast when we get up and running. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, I think it was actually Coach T that introduced us. We were doing a mesh point series. I had my quarterbacks out there. He has running backs. You stopped by the field. That's where we first met.
Yeah.
And just talked about our visions and how we want to both encourage and help the youth. And we both have the same type goals. And we just hit it off from the start, man.
Yeah.
And it was a good time. Good talk.
It was a good time. Yeah. I agree, man. Real good time. So I appreciate both of you guys, man. If you remember, just 2 weeks ago, I ran into you and Coach Terrence Williams at the On the Run Tour Volume 2 football camp that was hosted in Wilmington, North Carolina. And the following day, we had Terrence on our show for our very first Field Goal Spotlight. So shout out to Terrence. And coincidentally, you just happened to be on the show 2 weeks later. So how crazy is that?
Yeah, that's crazy. When I think about it, my football career, like, it's either my offensive lineman, my running backs, or my receivers. I'm never too far away from them. So me and Terrence, we sit together. We do a lot of collabs together. We had his On the Run tour. It was a big, huge success. And then now I'm here following up 2 weeks later after him. So it's pretty cool stuff.
We didn't plan it that way either. It's just pure coincidence. Pure coincidence. And what's ironic about the whole thing, typically, like you just said, when you see one, the other isn't too far behind.
Yeah. My defense used to always joke on me that I always had an offensive lineman close by for protection. But yeah, it's crazy how things happen and just work organically in life and with our businesses and how successful we've become because we're doing things the right way.
Yeah, you guys are. So before we even get started, Brad, I just want to say that I absolutely love what the two of you have put together for high school and college athletes, particularly with him repping the running backs and you repping the quarterbacks. And together, you both do it at such a professional and high level. And like I told Terrence, you have put Wilmington on your back and producing some quality talent. And so that's why I call you both the dynamic duo because, man, together, you guys are doing some phenomenal things.
And it all started like, for both of us, deep down, we just wanted to give back to the kids. We want to give back things that we've learned along our path, and we've both done it at such a high level. We understand how to be professionals, and we just want to give these youth, middle school, high school, college athletes the right way to do it. And we just want to be there for them. We put a lot of belief in every cleat that hits the field for us. And I think believing in one kid, that can change a life.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff, man. So, Brad, there's the whistle. And that means it's time to get this thing started. So you ready to take the field?
Let's get it.
All right. So, Brad, it's still summertime. We're wrapping up the off season, and the preseason has either started or about to start for fall sports, and then we'll soon be heading into the in season or competitive season. So talk to us about how important right now is off season training as athletes start to prepare themselves for the start of the preseason training.
Yeah, so the off season is a very important season. It's where you're going to set your foundation for your personal athletic growth, whatever type of goals you have. Regardless any type of sport you're in, the off season is going to be very important. You have your time to rest, develop, improve, and focus on what type of skills you want to get better at. That's going to directly and indirectly affect your competitive performance whenever your preseason and in-season competitive season comes up.
As you was talking, I was thinking about this analogy that I think you might well appreciate. To me, off-season and in-season training are similar to opening an athletic bank account, right? Because the off-season is where athletes make the most deposits in the form of strength training, conditioning, and physical work preparation. Competition is where athletes make the most withdrawals. In-season training allows athletes to keep their bank accounts fluid so that they don't run out of money. However, when they become overdrawn, it typically results in fatigue and potential injury. It's a kind of a silly analogy, but I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that.
So that's actually a perfect analogy of how you put it. The off-season, let's prepare, let's get stronger, let's get faster, let's become a better for our upcoming season. Then you get into preseason and then into the season. Let's still train, but let's maintain. Let's work out that soreness. Let's work the little areas that are more injury prone during the season. Also, incorrect or overtraining can cause fatigue and, you know, lead to potential injuries, like you said.
Yeah. The biggest mistake I see athletes make is them performing the wrong type of training at the wrong time, even though they make gains. But a huge risk an athlete may be taking is just peaking at the wrong time. Have you seen that or something similar before?
Incorrect training during the season can hurt you. It's more about trying to maintain work those little muscles. But honestly, one of the biggest concerns that I have seen at a lower level of athletics is guys not even training during the season. And I think you're putting yourself at a higher risk when you don't train during the season, because you might not think you need to, because you want to save your energy, you think, but you need to be still training during the season, working out that soreness, keeping your muscles inclined to that type of movement throughout the whole season. You just don't want to stop. You need to keep going. Your workouts change depending on what type of season you're in. They can back off a little bit, but still you need to train.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And you being a trainer, I'm sure you see what I'm about to say all the time. And I know you can attest to this, and that is there are lots of high school athletes who are beginners sign up for gym memberships because they feel that the cost of some summer training programs are too high for them, or they don't think structured training could benefit them. And I know for college athletes, they're going to be different because they have a regimen already mapped out for them, even in the summertime, and there's trainers available to keep them on track. But back to my point, the truth is that many, not all, but many high school athletes tend to float around untethered each summer without a lot of structured training because they don't have a plan for their workouts. And mistake number one, they sign up for gym memberships and either work out by themselves or with their buddies. And from what I typically observe, it goes one or two ways. Typically, the male athlete finds something similar that's familiar with them, like benching, squatting, curling, and they put too much weight on. They get stuck on the rack. They start chatting it up, laughing and playing, go play some basketball and repeat the next day. The female athlete walks in, does a lot of cardio, does lightweight, some ab workouts, leaves, and repeats again the next day. And there's no real progress being made. I'm sure there are exceptions to these examples. In fact, I know there are. But not having a plan or seeking out solutions is a disadvantage. So am I missing the mark here or what? And if I'm not, from your perspective as a trainer, I want you to talk about the importance of athletes, both high school and college, about having an off-season training plan.
If you want to be successful, then you have to have a plan. You know, going out and getting a gym membership, that's the easy part. The question is, are you doing the right things? Mm-hmm. Are you doing the right stuff to gain progress to where you need to be as an athlete? That's the hard part. Unless you're already an expert, unless you already have done all the research and you're the expert, you've got certifications, you probably know what to do. But a lot of us at the high school and college level, we don't know. We might know in our heads the different types of things, but we don't know specifically what we need to do to get our bodies to the best that we can be. So I'll say this, like going out and get a gym membership, you might waste a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort to be in the same position where you were when you started. I've been through the ranks. I've been through college. I've been in the pros. And even to this day, I have trainers that I go to that I work myself out. You know, let the experts do it. And most importantly, they hold me accountable for what my goals are and where I want to be. They hold me accountable and they get me there. So my advice to these high school and college athletes, yeah, it's good to get a training program from your coaches, but get somebody that's going to hold you accountable and put you in a place where they protect you and they have your best interests and they want to put your goals first. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to be as an athlete? If there's somebody that really wants to be all in, you got to let the experts help. Everything I've done in life, I've had people around me helping me to get there. I couldn't have done it on my own.
Right. As you was talking, I was even thinking about myself when I was going through that process, particularly when I was thinking about playing college ball. I didn't have a trainer. Back then, trainers weren't even really popular like they are now. So a lot of the regimens and workouts that I did on my own, I was just following the same type of workout structure that we did when I took weightlifting as a gym class in high school.
Yeah, I was the same way. I didn't have a quarterback trainer. I was fortunate enough that my quarterback coach in high school played at Guilford College as a quarterback. So he had been in college, so he had that knowledge to help me get to college. But yeah, like in the off seasons in college, like I didn't have a specific quarterback trainer. And we're talking it was 2003 through 2007. So I was the one that was getting my receivers and defensive backs and running backs together to go out there and get throwing sessions every couple times a week during the summer. Like I was the one that was expected to round my guys up, be the leader and create the opportunity for my guys. I was learning everything on my own just from watching guys I grew up following, Brett Favre, the Tom Brady's, like just watching those guys and trying to mimic them, those guys. That's how it was back in the day.
I mean, it worked for what it was worth. But just think about if we would have had what we're putting together now back then.
Oh, man. I would have been a beast, I think.
Well, honestly, you already were. Your stats show that you were a beast already, but you would have been even better.
Yeah, honestly, like the way I teach now, like I even focus more on my mechanics. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like I throw the ball a little better with accuracy when I get out there and sling it a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it helps a lot. So it definitely would have been a little different, but I wouldn't change a thing because I think it really taught me how to learn things on my own and overcome adversity and figure it out myself.
Yeah, I agree with that. Same here. No, same here. So Brad, obviously men and women are built differently. And let's face it, male and female cultural issues still linger in sports. So oftentimes pressure and misinformation create confusion and poor understanding of how training actually works, which results in a continuous cycle of bad training or no training at all. Can both male and female athletes share in similar type of off-season workouts, or do they have to be adjusted for each one?
Yeah, absolutely. Both male and females can train in similar types of, in pretty much the same way. The only thing that might be adjusted is just the weight. But I mean, our bodies move the same and we all flex the same. I take like yoga, for example. Women have mastered this for decades. And more recently, like in the 2000s, men have actually, and male athletes have actually turned towards yoga to become more athletic. And I can speak from experience. When I didn't ever do it in college, but once I started training for the NFL, we started introducing yoga to our regimen. And really more so after I got done playing, I started doing a lot more yoga. And I can attest that it's actually made me a better athlete, more flexible. If I had known about that and done it earlier in my career, I think it would have helped a lot more tremendously. But yeah, you see these, the females are working out right beside the males doing the same stuff. So I don't think there's really much difference.
Yeah, I don't either that much. I think you're right. No matter the sport, athletes tend to place an unequal amount of pressure on parts of their body throughout the competitive season. And these imbalances can often be very dangerous if left unchecked. So talk to us about how an athlete should be training during the off season to improve their health and prevent future injury.
There's a couple of steps that you can look at, but I think the first one is getting with the expert and creating that plan. Like we talked about earlier, creating that plan that you want to set goals towards to become the best athlete you can. I think secondly, you need to assess your body. You know, are there any current lingering injuries that you need to specifically work on? What body parts are tight? Where do you need to loosen up? What body parts do you need to focus on more? That type of an assessment for the body. And then third, what are your goals? Do you want to become faster? Do you want to become stronger? Do you want to gain weight? Do you want to lose weight? Specifically as a quarterback, do you want to become more accurate? Maybe if you're playing soccer, do you want to become more accurate when you're shooting towards the goal? What is it that you want? Setting that why. And then I think fourth, stay consistent with that plan. You got to fall in love with the process. Set a goal and say, if you want to give up, just say one more day. Give me one more day. And just time after time, let's see where it leads to.
You know, I've often heard that the off season is divided into specific phases, hypertrophy or endurance phase, the strength phase and power phase. And these phases are specifically designed to maximize athletic development, and they work in collaboration with the skill-based trainings. Do you have any familiarity with these phases? And if so, I want you to just share with us briefly what each phase means.
When I was training for the NFL, we went through these phases, and the endurance part of it, the first part, there's really two types. There's a stabilization and a strength phase. The key principles of the stabilization phase, key principles are pretty much like the quality of movement. This is where you're setting the foundation. You're doing low reps or low weight with high reps. Your movement should be controlled, slowed and controlled. You know, you're really working on correct form and technique. This is your beginning stages. You want to train in unstable environments. That would be things like single leg work. If you're using like a wobble cushion underneath, something that's unstable, to work on your balance. This beginning part is probably one of the most important because it's setting that foundation. Otherwise, you can leave yourself at a high risk of injuries if you go straight to heavy weights.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into the strength endurance phase. And this is more of a superset format. You do strength exercise followed by an immediate stabilization phase exercise. So it's go do a big squat, but then superset it with a single leg balance, maybe like a board, a balance board. So superset like that. All right. So then you get into your strength phase, and this is where you increase your strength versus muscle. This is where you do low reps with heavy weight, and you have a little more rest in between sets. And this will ultimately lead to your power phase. This is where you want to be the maximum strength reps. So this is now leading up to our pro days, where we want to be able to max out 225. We want to be explosive on the 40. You work towards that power phase to be your one time explosive, as fast and as explosive as you can be that one time. So those phases are definitely important. You can't just jump into heavyweight. Everybody wants to lift heavyweight, but there's a process to get there.
And it definitely depends on the sport that you're playing, because I can remember when we were training for basketball, particularly when I was growing up, a lot of people would say, don't lift a lot of heavy weights because it would throw your shot off. Or if I also played baseball, they didn't necessarily want us to lift a lot of heavy weight because it could mess up our arm. Because I used to play pitcher and first base. I know times have changed, but it definitely is sport specific, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. There's times to lift heavy weights and times not to lift heavy weights. But you just got to get with your experts and let them guide you.
I agree. So you are the owner of Femme to Field, where you work with a lot of athletes, particularly in the quarterback position. Just given your training experience as a former professional athlete, what types of training activities do you tend to put your athletes through during the off season?
We'll do a lot of movement type activities and training. It depends on the athlete. I like to do individual workouts with my guys before I send them to a group setting. That way I know what they need, because some guys are higher level than others. But yeah, work movement, like in the pocket stuff, or even before we even start our workouts, I'll run them through a little shoulder exercise where we're strengthening their shoulders, working those little muscles. I have these little weighted balls that we use, and I have resistance band stuff that we do, because I want them to really focus on those small muscles and try to prevent injuries to a shoulder. Because actually, a lot of these athletes are playing multiple sports at the same time. So I get a lot of baseball guys who are in baseball season, and they'll try and come throw football. And I honestly try to push those guys farther away or less workouts with football until you get done with baseball. I'm big on trying to work those little muscles at the beginning to try and prevent some injuries. I definitely don't want somebody getting hurt on my clock.
Right.
So if I can do anything to help a kid, I'm all for that. But there's different things we do. Like I'll work conditioning stuff. Like I said, pocket movements, or I do a lot of accuracy training. One of my big features that helped me get to the NFL was being able to stand in the pocket and deliver an accurate ball while you're getting hit in the face. So taking a hit and not being scared to sit there and take a hit for your teammates, but putting the ball in a good position so he doesn't get taken out. And I like to work on the mental side of the game. Let's take a break from the field and let's just talk ball. Let's talk about defenses. Let's talk about the blitzes, what you're going to do when you're getting blitzed. You know where your hot route is. Have a plan. Know what you're going to do with the ball. I think that was another big thing that helped me get to the NFL, is I knew where everybody was going to be on the field. And I knew who was unblocked. And I knew where I was going to go with the ball when I was getting blitzed. Honestly, I liked when people blitzed me, because I knew who was going to be left open, or I knew who was going to be a good matchup.
Yeah.
Just taking the time and talk to these guys about that type of stuff. And because honestly, playing quarterback is 80% mental, 20% physical. And you got to be smart. Mm-hmm. So you need to know what you're doing out there.
Yeah.
So I like talking about the mental side of things too.
Good. One of the things that you were just talking about with the sport specific skills, a couple of things that I've seen is where they say that in the off season that athletes should decrease sport specific skill work and focus more on functional movement. You talked about that, as well as strength development, and avoid too much specialty training such as instability or isolation work. What should be the focus of an athlete's training, and what types of workouts should they be avoiding or not doing a lot of?
Getting into the sport-specific work, I want to stay away from a lot of hyperextension movements. An example could be like sit-ups, right? Just on the ground doing sit-ups. This can cause fatigue to your abdominals and your spinal health. Instead of regular sit-ups on the ground, let's add some resistance twists with it, or let's get like an ab wheel. If you get on an ab wheel, you're using all your muscles, shoulders, back, everything, your hips, your legs, your hamstrings, things like that. So just don't make it one specific little movement. Let's try to hit everything all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that a lot of young athletes tend to take for granted is the importance of rest. So how does active rest and taking time to recover play a role in conditioning during the off season?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people really don't understand what active rest really means. It's more of the balance between recovery and maintaining your fitness. At the end of the season, we've worked so hard, we put so much in, we're burnt out. So this is where you want to take your active rest and take a little break. But when you're taking that break, you still want to be active. Let's do something fun, enjoyable, some type of enjoyable activity. That way you're still working those muscles, but it's just like a fresh way of finding a different activity that's fun. It doesn't feel like you're working out.
Yeah.
It's more just having fun. But deep down, like in your conscience, you really don't know you're working because you're just having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So what should be happening near the end of the off season? Should athletes begin redirecting their focus back to sport specific exercises and increasing their bodies back into their own workout regimen, or what?
when you're getting towards the end of the season, it's always good to take a little reset, take some time to yourself, and then really focus on what type of plan you want to get into and to start. I think what helped for me was I would take a couple of days and look back on the season I just had, whether it's watching every game you played or trying to focus on what are the highlights that I need to improve the most on, and just taking a reset, not really focusing on football at all, just taking some time to yourself and then coming back and then looking at that plan. And then that's when you start redirecting your focus.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, Brad, there's the horn. Congratulations, you made it through the first half. How you feeling right about now?
Hey, first half's good. You got to come out swinging.
So I want you to say some of that mental energy, because we're going to put you in a hot seat at the end of the show. And you talking about you like blitzes, we got to put you in our game, the all-out blitz. So we're going to see how well you do with that. So let's take a quick break. Let's get a word from our sponsor, and we'll come right back and dive back in. So how's that sound?
Looks good. Looking forward to it.
All right. More with Coach Brad Roach after this.
LMH Strategies is a leadership, management, and human systems consulting company that specializes in business transformation, program management, and supplier diversity. The professional team at LMH Strategies brings a diverse range of national and global experiences in various industries to help your organization achieve its objectives and deliver measurable solutions. The LMH Strategies impact results in improved workforces, better businesses, and a brighter world. Commercial, government, and higher education markets trust LMH Strategies as their business partner. And the team at LMH Strategies welcomes the opportunity to earn your trust too. For more information, go to lmhstrategies.com.
Let's jump right into the preseason training. I want you to walk us through what that is and how it differs from off-season training.
Think of the preseason as like a bridge. All right, this is your bridge from the off-season into your competitive season. All right, so you got your off-season, and then let's cross this little bridge, and we're going into competitive season. All right, so your preseason, this is the period where you should increase your intensity. Let's get attention to detail. You're now preparing for actual competition. You're trying to get game ready. So you should be at the top of your conditioning, mentally and physically. This is where the coaches are going to be assessing their teams for their upcoming season. This could be the difference of you starting or making the team or not. So you're in the preseason now. So let's go.
Yeah. A strong preseason can be the difference between getting some silverware at the end of the season or another disappointing year, or even worse, time spent injured on the sidelines. Because if no preseason training were to occur, it would just be like running a marathon after having spent the past 6 months not running at all. So talk about the importance of preseason training and its importance to having a successful competitive season.
Yeah, preseason is big. You can't just jump into something without preparing for it. Preseason is where we're going through game time situations, full contact, getting your bodies used to contacting other people, especially in football. You're working your conditioning so you can last the whole game. You're practicing plays and repetition. You're basically working out the kinks. You want to mess up in preseason. Watch film, understand why you're messing up, and then get it dialed in and correct things during the preseason, during training camps. Because once game time gets here, you got to be rolling.
It's on a pop.
You got to be a smooth rolling machine. Everything's got to be kicking now. We don't have time to work on things once the first game gets here. So that's why we use our preseason to get things dialed in.
Yeah, I agree. For me, the key to preseason training is also having some type of balance, because you want to be effective, but you don't want to overdo it either. So shouldn't the goal and focus be on the quality of the exercises versus the quantity?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think the goal should be a focus on both. You know, you want good quality reps, but I think you need quantity. This is what's going to create being consistent on a good basis. A lot of good quality reps, but having a lot of quantity is going to lead to being more successful, I think. And just training your body to be consistent, being good, being consistent.
Well, even down from the exercise point, unfortunately, we see guys and girls get injured during preseason because of the quantity of their exercises. You don't want athletes just to overdo it with doing too many hardcore reps, whether if it's with sprintings or benching or anything like that, versus just saying, hey, I'm going to go hard, but I got to pace myself at the same time.
Control what you can control. Just be smart about it. Be smart in the things you do and listen to your body. If your body's feeling fatigued, take a little break. Just always listen to your body.
Yeah, many clubs have preseason assessments that identify an athlete's strengths and weaknesses, as well as establish your fitness baseline so you know what to focus your energy on and where your vulnerabilities lie. So perhaps this is truer for college athletes than it is for high school, but what exactly should be the goals and objectives of preseason?
If you've prepared like you should have in the off season, you should go into the preseason with a lot of confidence and just be really confident in your ability to perform. It can't be a situation where, you know, what if situation? What if I would have done this in the off season? You don't want to have those type of questions. You want to walk in feeling confident that you've done everything you can do to be the best athlete you are. And then at that point, that's when you, like I said, you know, control what you can control and do the best you can and let the coaches and everybody else decide that where they want to pitch you.
Yeah. I'm old school and I'm not going to even lie. I used to actually hate preseason. Because I remember back in the day, preseason was a time when coaches would just beast players by just running them into the ground and pushing them to the limits. And just, they always just be screaming that no pain, no gain bullcrap mantra. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of training is a thing of the past, or at least I hope it is. And now it's being replaced with more scientific approaches that consider the overarching performance goals of the organization and the needs of individual players in their specific positions. So what does preseason training actually really involve?
Yeah, I grew up that way too. The hard-nosed coaches. And me personally, I like that. That made me a better man. So I think there's a time and a place for that type of coaching. The preseason is where it's going to expose everyone who's prepared in the off season. It's going to show who's prepared, who's in shape. You know, it's going to expose your skill levels. It's going to expose who can handle the physical and the mental aspects of their sport. The preseason is important. That's where you got to shine. That's where you earn your stripes. That's where you earn the trust of your teammates. That's where you're going to earn your starting positions. As athletes, if you really want it, you're going to put the work in before. Mm-hmm. And if you want to just half it, then that's what's going to happen. If you envision starting on a football team or on a softball team or wherever you're playing, what are you going to do to make that happen? So you better prepare.
Yeah, and bring it. You got to bring it every single day. I hated it, but trust me, I was out there. I brought it every day too.
There's always somebody fighting for it.
You better believe it. So you better believe it. So just like what we discussed in the off season, preseason training is also divided into different phases: fitness phase, skill development, player assessment phase, and we talked about the mental and physical preparedness. So what do you think? Should these phases be the focal point of preseason training?
Absolutely. Like I said, preseason is what separates the good, the bad, the greats. And we're going to find out who can handle it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think all of those things come into context. Your mm-hmm. fitness, who can physically endure, like running sprints, like who can get through running sprints. That's going to show a coach, can you make it through a full game or not? Or are you just a couple plays guy? And then your skill development, that's going to speak for itself. And this is where player assessments come in. Who's going to give your coach the best opportunity to win? And then it comes down to the mental and physical preparedness. As an athlete, have you worked on your positive self-talk? That's a huge thing that I try to talk to my kids about is, you got to internally talk positive to yourself. You got to envision going out there and doing something, and then it'll come to light. The big saying that I say is next play. If we go out there and throw an interception as a quarterback, forget it. Next play. Let's go. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. Like, how is your team going to look at you when you throw an interception.
Right. Or shoot an air ball.
Yeah, shoot an air ball. The crowd's getting on you. You got to block all that noise out, and you got to learn how to talk to yourself internally and say, oh, I'm going to get it next play.
Yeah. We talk a lot about the grueling side of preseason, but there are some benefits to it as well. Because the preseason, it extends far beyond helping an athlete's transition into competition games and managing that early season fatigue when you go too hard or too fast and straight off the bat. Because this is the last opportunity to work out all the kinks before you go into the competitive season.
We got to get the kinks out. The season's right around the corner. This is where you learn about your teammates. It's where you're building that trust. You're getting ready to go to war, so you want to have a guy beside you that's going to fight with you.
That's right.
So you're building that trust. You're all going through it together. You're going through that hardship and getting ready for battle. The preseason is where you learn a lot about your team and how you're going to overcome some adversity. Is this guy right here beside me going to be with me or not? So you want to know in the back of your mind that you got a whole team that's going to back you. And you're going to back them, earning that trust and building those bonds and being comfortable with your coaches and learning that type of communication. Communication is big in a team sport.
Yeah. In season. So what is in season versus off season and preseason training? What is it? And why is this probably the most crucial season out of all the rest?
Yeah, so your in-season training, that's the ability to maintain strength and mobility. Your mobility gains developed over the off-season. It might be one of the most crucial types of training because this is going to reduce the occurrence of injury. And then in the long run, it's going to allow you to succeed at a high level.
I'm not necessarily always expecting coaches to push their athletes during in-season training as they would during off-season and preseason. In fact, I think that in-season practices are often far less physically demanding than off-season practices. So what should be the workout focus during the competitive season?
I think during the competitive season, this is where you want to maintain strength. You want to focus on major muscle groups like your legs, hips, core, upper torso, as well as you want to pay attention to the most injury-prone areas. All right. So like your ankles, your knees, your groin, maybe like your low back or hands in season, you want to maintain those big muscle groups, but then you still really need to focus on those small, most injury prone areas.
I can remember, I think I shared with you that my son played football for Marshall University. During his sophomore year, I always used to feel like their in-season training was just absolutely brutal because they got a lot of injuries that year. They were mentally and physically fatigued after every game. And the results were they actually lost games. And Marshall always had a really good reputation of being Conference USA champs or Conference USA leaders and doing well in the bowl game. But his sophomore year particularly, I think they were just mentally and physically fatigued because where most teams got off or had minimal in-season workouts the day after the game, man, they went back in and they hit it and they hit it hard. And he used to always complain about that. And then the following years, they scaled back. His three other years that he played, Marshall went on to have a very successful season. So I think that sometimes coaches tend to push too much, or if they do push too much during the end season, they got to be able to strike a good balance because it can really result in mental and physical fatigue as well as injuries. And ultimately, you're going to lose games.
During season, you got to push back a little bit. Like you got to find that balance. Because as an athlete, you're giving out so much. When you're competing, your body's breaking down. So you got to find that balance of how can we build our body back up and not just drain our athletes.
I agree. Research has shown that at the professional level, in-season training reduces injury risk significantly, enhances individual playing time within squads, and actually leads to in-season performance gains as opposed to pure maintenance. So I'm going to make the assumption this is very similar at the collegiate and high school levels as well. But what is your in-season? What was your in-season training like with the Ravens?
Your in-season training, we tried to keep our body balanced. Like I said, as you're performing competition, whether it's in practice or in your game, you're breaking your body down. So we would just do things to maintain our strength. And I think the main difference between off-season and in-season training primarily comes down to your emphasis on volume. How much volume are you doing? So I think taking a scale back during the season helps rejuvenate the players. So just being smart.
Yeah, it only makes sense to me that if a young athlete is truly serious about gaining a performance edge, then in-season training is simply non-negotiable. They should spend more time on the field or court than in the weight room and use strength training to supplement their sport-specific drills and training, correct?
Yeah, I think if you're an athlete truly serious about making it to the next level or even just dominating your competition where you're at, you're going to take the necessary steps to get there.
Yeah.
And in-season training is a must to stay healthy. So you just got to understand and listen to your body in order to stay healthy. If you're not healthy, you're not on the field, you're not able to perform. You got to do the right things. You got to take the right steps. It's all a process, and you got to learn about it, and you got to fall in love with the process.
And I don't care what sport you play and at what level. It's not like you really have a choice anyway for in-season training unless you just want to sit the bench or risk getting injured. Clearly, what other choices do you really have? None.
Hey, honestly, there's no other choice. If you're trying to be great, you're trying to dominate, you're trying to accomplish that goal that you're envisioning, you got to put the work in. You got to do in-season training.
So rule of thumb for in-season training, athletes should focus on training heavy, just at a reduced volume, recovery, fixing aches and pains before they become injuries, and resting. Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to focus on those injury-prone areas. And still train heavy to maintain that strength throughout the year.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Brad, we're coming down the home stretch. Let's wrap up by discussing the postseason. I want you to tell us what it is and how it differs from the other training seasons.
Yeah, so the postseason, we're going into the off season. This is where the athletes can improve their strength, really hone in and learn how to correctly assess their goals, assess their bodies and where they want to be. This is what's setting the foundation for their personal athletic growth.
Yeah, summer break is a true break for most athletes academically, but there never really is a true break for training. So the components of this recovery process includes mental, emotional, and physical aspects that need to be met in order to fully prepare for the next bout of training and the following season, right?
Yeah, this gives you a time to reset, figure out that plan, and evaluate before you go into the next type of training.
Yeah. So what I would recommend when you hit that postseason for any athlete, your postseason activity, you should choose to not climb above moderate, because your body is taxed so much during the competitive season. And as we determined, rest or active rest is very important. So what would you recommend?
We've given so much during the season, mentally and physically, right? So now let's take a step back. Let's reset. Active rest, that can mean a lot of different things. You basically have free rein to choose what you want to do as long as you're staying active. You're doing something fun, unrelated to the sport you just got done. Take a break mentally and get away from it. It's a lot. Like, our seasons are long. You just need to take a mental break away from it and not really think about it. And that way you can just reset, refresh everything physically and mentally. And then when you come back fresh and ready with a new mindset, and you can attack it with 100%.
And let's face it, any competitive season has multiple ups and downs, which creates an emotional roller coaster that could send anyone through a loop. And one of the things I used to tell my son right after he played in a bowl, I was like, look, you just spent close to 48 out of the past 52 weeks preparing or playing your sport. So you owe it to yourself to do something a little different, like swimming or biking or elliptical training, whatever you want to do, something different, and come back refreshed for the preparation for the next season.
Yeah, let's don't do nothing hard, because we've done hard postseason, preseason, in season. Like, everything's hard.
Yeah.
So this is a time to just let it go and just have fun and do something you want to do just for fun, to get your mind off of it. Hit that reset button, come back refreshed. Everybody needs to take time to themselves and just recalculate your steps and everything, how you want to now prepare and go into the next off season.
Yeah, that was probably the one and only time he was allowed to sleep to 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon at my house.
Man, that does feel good, though. Honestly, your body needs that type of rest. I think that's one thing that I didn't really talk about earlier, but was rest. You're putting your body through so much and you're breaking it down. You got to get a lot of rest. And you'll hear a lot of the experts that that train. Even me now, my guys tell me I need to get rest. I listen to the experts.
Very important. All right, Brad, for those that want to holler at you or get with you to do some film-to-field training, talk about how they can find you.
Every social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you can do at film-to-field. We have pages, and then you'll see a list of my coaches on there. I have different quarterback trainers in different cities, currently in Raleigh, North Carolina, and in Greenville, North Carolina. I have quarterback coaches. And then here in the Wilmington area, we have different coaches for defensive line, wide receivers, and a couple other positions, kickers. But everything's on the website. You can check us out at www.film2field.com. The two in the middle is T-O. It's not the number two. So film to field. I guess a little story real quick of how I came up with the name. So I was sitting on my couch one night and I was trying to figure out, like, what am I going to call this? I started out as just a quarterback trainer, but I envisioned having different position coaches just because I wanted to have more of an outreach towards the community and towards other areas in the state and other different states. So I wanted to have a bigger outreach than just quarterbacks. So I didn't want just to be specific quarterbacks in my name, in my company name. So I was sitting here thinking, I was like, what do these kids need that I did a lot of in college? And it was film study. Let's see what we need to improve on. And let's take our film study to the field.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work on it on the field. Mm. Let's correct it. Let's try not to make the same mistakes. Let's get better. So just learning how to watch film. So that's how film to field came about. And it was cool. It just stuck. And I ran with it.
I like it. I absolutely like it, man. I love it. And it's very similar to our story, too, of how we developed the brand Field Goals. I was in L.A. last week. Was in Palos Verdes, California. This time, actually, last Sunday. And ran into the Fox Sports NFL crew. So I was talking to Jimmy Johnson, Kurt Minifree, Jay Glazer, Charles Woodson, and Terry Bradshaw. It's funny how everybody...
That's some greats right there.
Oh, it was great. And they were awesome. Having an NFL and college speaking seminar. And they gave me the opportunity to actually share the brand.
Yeah.
I was telling Jimmy Johnson, basically, I said, hey, listen, you know, what our job here at Field Goals, not just to help kids, elite athletes achieve their on and off the field athletic goals, which they absolutely love. I said, but I'm here to make your job easier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's our purpose, is to make your job easier.
Yeah.
And obviously those guys are more focused on NFL and football, and we are not necessarily a sports specific show. However, it still is to make the coach or the commentator or the other teammate their job easier, because we want to be able to give them those tips and strategies to help them achieve their goals.
You're helping the athletes achieve their goals that they want to perform on the field, hence field goals.
That's right.
It's pretty awesome, man. I love it.
Appreciate it. All right, Brad, before I get you up out of here, there's a game I play with all of our guests who come on the field called the All Out Blitz. And I know you said you like blitzes and probably had your share of them, but this is a little different.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. This is a game where I'll ask you a series of rapid-fire questions, and you give me the first thing that comes to your mind. You can explain your answer if you need to, but here's the catch. We have a three-minute running clock before the final buzzer sounds, and your answers will determine if you win or lose. So I just need you to mentally focus like you back in the purple and black, because the pressure is going to be real.
I'm ready.
All right.
I think one reason I like blitzes is because I like proving people wrong. And so people try to send blitzes on me and I'm like, all right, I'm going to prove you wrong, defense coordinator, for trying to do that.
All right. I'm going to be that defensive coordinator for
you.
Question number one. What does a focus-driven athlete mean to you?
I think it's someone who's present, someone who doesn't dwell on the past. They understand mentally how you can become better one day at a time. It's easy to focus, everybody can focus, but it's those that can refocus that become elite.
Question number two, in no particular order, your top five best QBs of all time.
Gotta go Tom Brady, the GOAT. He's in there. Joe Montana, he's probably the most efficient quarterback ever. Brett Favre, one of my all-time favorites growing up. He's tough. He took risks. Peyton Manning, man. He changed the game at the line of scrimmage with his mental aspect of things. And I probably had to put Drew Brees in there, man. Mm. He's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah. Question number three, best song to get you hyped before the start of a game.
Eminem, the song Lose Yourself.
I knew it.
The beginning where he says, you got one shot, you got one opportunity.
Right.
Man, that'll get you going. I love it.
Question number four. Who do you think is the most competitive? A high school athlete trying to play in college. B, a college athlete who's hungry to get to the next level. Or C, an already established professional athlete.
The hungriest. I'm going to say B, probably the college athlete. I think because you've gotten over that hump and you've gotten a little taste of it. But then once you get into college, like you really understand the process now and what you got to do to be elite, because only the elite make it. And it's very slim and your percentages go down. So I think the college athlete.
I agree. Final question. What topic would you like to see us discuss on Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete? And who would you recommend for us to interview that can speak to that topic? But before you answer, your job is to help bring this person onto the show.
What about an NFL agent? Have you ever had an NFL agent on?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I think maybe topics could be what it truly means to be a professional and how do you stay a professional in the NFL? I think that would be cool.
Okay.
Could touch on. Now I could reach out to my NFL agent. He came down to my camp. He was our guest speaker for my middle school and high school camps. But what a treat for him to come down. I didn't meet my first NFL agent until my senior year in college, whereas I'm given this opportunity for these kids in middle school and high school to meet an NFL agent. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That is cool. All right, we're going to take you up on that. I appreciate that. All right, Brad, there's the final buzzer. See, that wasn't too bad, was it?
Absolutely. I felt that cover zero come over. I had one-on-one coverage up top, and I threw a touchdown.
Nice. Real quick story, man. When my son was at Marshall, his first game that he started was against Louisville. Guess who the quarterback was?
Was it Brian Brown?
No.
Oh, how old was your son? Lamar?
It was Lamar.
It was Lamar Jackson, yeah. Yep.
Nice. That reminded me of that win. And Marshall did pretty good against them. They lost the game, but they kept Louisville scoreless the first quarter. And it reminded me when they made their first touchdown. Yeah, they ran like a blitz. My son chased them around, and he just threw a bomb downfield to get the touchdown.
Yeah, he's fun to watch, man. He's a heck of an athlete. And what a great guy just on and off the field.
Yeah, I agree. Brad, seriously, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on the field with us today. You've been a big advocate and supporter of ours since day one. I want to give you your flowers now, and I really appreciate that level of support. I can't thank you enough.
Absolutely. It was an honor to be on here, and I appreciate everything you're doing for our youth and continued success to you.
It's always great to chop it up. I just need you to do us one more favor, and that is to help us get your athletic circle to listen to your episode and to subscribe to our podcast.
Absolutely. I'm on it.
All right. Appreciate that. One last question. Do you feel like you left it all on the field with us today?
I think I did.
That's what's up.
That's one thing you don't want to have is regrets. As athletes, let's do all we can do, man. Whatever we envision, let's make it happen.
Sounds great. I agree. All right, peeps, we're going to be doing this again in two, so make sure to stay connected. Hit that subscribe button and be sure to share with your friends. Also, follow our Twitter handle at MyFieldGoals and connect with us on our other social media platforms. All right, you know what's up. Brad is getting up out of here, and so am I. We'll see you in two. That's a wrap. You've been listening to Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete. Stay connected with us by liking our Facebook page, Field Goals. You can also join the discussion on our Facebook group page, Field Goals for the Focused Driven Athlete. Also follow us on Instagram at MyFieldGoals. And be sure to head over to our website at www.myfieldgoals.com to subscribe, rate, and leave a review of our show. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all other podcast hosting platforms. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you join us again soon on the field.